This is an iHeart podcast.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
When I told people I was making a podcast about Benghazi, 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
From Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries, this is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. 3 times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, final hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a magnificent Friday. I hope so much that you are going to have a blessed weekend. So this hour, I'm actually going to tell my little tale of getting to Houston. Longtime listeners will know it, but someone asked, so I figure I might as well give you the abridged version. Hey, Chris. Abridged means brief, right? I want to make sure I use that. That's what it means? I knew I nailed that. I went to a community college, a fully accredited community college. Someone's crapping all over the Churchill bunker I want to go to. That sucks. Why are people platforming Gavin Newsom? Someone's mad about it. VP picks. Someone wants to know about Sarah Huckabee Sanders. All that and so much more. As much as I can get to in the final hour of the world famous Jesse Kelly Show. Now, Jesse, for a man who can live in any city and state he wants, why did you choose Houston? Okay, first, for a man who can live in any city or state he wants. Man, I have kids. I have a wife. She has friends. I have friends. I understand that now, especially in this digital age, you can really do a radio show from anywhere. You know, you can do a TV show from anywhere. I understand that physically I could do a show from pretty much anywhere, but I'm a flesh and blood human being the same way you are. I'm not some rock star. My kids are in school. I got bills to pay. Yeah, I'm here. But let me accept your premise that I can just move anywhere I want, anytime I want. I still have Chris and Corey here, by the way, and they have families, wives, and kids. You know, we're people. We're normal people who eat pizza and cheese sticks. That aside, why did I choose Houston? I get this question a lot because Houston, it's a bit of a dump. But when people think about Texas and the worst big city, Houston's usually on that list because it's a big, sprawling, spread-out, industrial port city, and if I'm being honest, it's very ugly. It's flat. It's ugly. It's oil. It's all oil refinery stuff. Kind of dirty. You get a new air quality advisory every day. And the weather is subtropical horrid. It's just awful. Absolutely awful. And people say, why Houston? Why Houston? Why Houston? Here's why Houston. Remember, I'm a normal person. I have lived a normal life for almost my entire life. This is accidental. That I'm doing this is kind of an accident. Allow me to explain for maybe you don't know. When I got out of the Marine Corps, I ran for Congress. I went back to work in construction. That's what I'd been doing before. I come from a construction family. I went back to work in construction. met my wife. I was going to community college, just wanted to do construction the rest of my life. Started to get super into politics, ran for Congress a couple times, lost twice. I won the Republican primary, then lost the general election. I wanted to stay in politics, so I moved to Washington, D.C. with my wife, two kids, and worked in politics back there for a year. I just hated living there. Hated it. Everyone's so rude. It's so dirty. It was just, this was not for me. Quit my job without a job and threw the family in a minivan. We had one of those Honda minivans. Don't judge me. They're affordable and they were all you could fit the kids in. All right. Had one of those Honda minivans, stuffed everything in it, and we started driving across the country trying to find work. But here's the terrible part about this, and I don't wish this on anyone, but maybe you go through this too. I didn't know what I wanted to do. I kind of wanted to stay in politics because I'm here because I believe it is a mission. I am passionate about fighting against communism. So I wanted to stay in the fight some way. But I wasn't married to staying in politics. What we were married to was living in a red state. We lived red, we lived blue, we were done living in blue states. We knew that life was just better in red ones. So we're driving all through the Carolinas and Tennessee and everywhere. And I'm stopping every place we can find, turning in resumes with normal civilian companies, with political companies. Hey, are you looking for anybody, something? And I'm out of work. And so the bank account's getting low. We get clear to Texas, all the way, went all the way down the eastern seaboard, looped around through Alabama, Mississippi, which I love. Love those places, all the way over to end up in Dallas, Texas. And we are, it had been, I think, almost a three-week road trip, almost a month maybe. 3 weeks to a month was the road trip. Flat, broken, busted. I am in Dallas, Texas. Money, we're living in a hotel at the time. And I call my mom just to check in. Say, hey, Mom, we're still alive. She says, hey, Chuck Swindoll, he's this famous pastor. Chuck Swindoll has a church over there. It's Sunday. Why don't you guys go up to church? I didn't feel like it at all. I'm like, all right, I will. That's fine. I don't know what else to do. Maybe I'll find a job at the church. Drive up to the church. We walk in the lobby. Had not even met anybody. He didn't even hear a sermon or anything like that. And both of us just kind of knew. And we looked and we said, we're moving here. And we did. It was in Frisco, Texas. It's in the Dallas area. Move there, but still no job. So I look on Craigslist, and I don't even know if Craigslist still exists. I believe it does. This online classified section always has employment opportunities the same way the local paper does. There's an advertisement to sell RVs. I am beyond desperate. I figured I could probably sell something. I ran for Congress twice. Selling myself, probably sell something. Went down, applied. I was the only one who showed up in a suit, the only one who looked him in the eye, the only one who shook hands, the only one who shut my mouth and listened, and I got hired on the spot in front of all the other dirt balls who gathered up in t-shirts and shorts that day. Wear a suit. Anyway, I get hired, and I start selling RVs, and I was really good at it. And I enjoy talking to people to some extent. By the end of the day, I don't want to talk to people anymore, but just talking to people, just goofing. Laughing, talking about life, sold RV. I always enjoyed RVs. We actually lived in one for a while when I was a kid. So I know RVs. So sold RVs. I was so good at it, they made me the sales manager after a year. Then they opened up some huge store down in Houston, Texas, and they offered me the sales manager position at that store. I accepted. We had to come down here, find a place to live. Find a school for the kids. This is 8 or 9 years ago. I don't even remember. 8 or 9 years ago. We moved down here, and that's what I was doing. I came down here for work. Now, we found a great little setup for ourselves, nice little house, a great little school, and then I got to know Michael Berry, my mentor, Michael Berry. He's also a nationally syndicated radio host. Depending on where you're listening, he might have been on right before me. I mean, maybe you just got done listening to Michael. He's a good friend and my mentor. I really owe a lot of this to him. He saw something I'd put on social media. He reached out, had his show reach out and say, hey, you want to come on the show and talk about this? And from the RV sales room, I did a radio interview. He loved it. He kept me on forever. It was like 45 minutes. I'm in a Taco Bell drive-thru that night after work, and Michael Berry calls my cell phone. I answer it. We just sit and gab for a while. Ended up getting to be very good friends. And he starts pushing me to try this or something like this. He kept saying, I feel like you could have a really special media career if you wanted. And this is at the time I was kind of burning out on selling RVs. Sales isn't for everybody. And if it is for you, that's very good. You can make a pile of money. And I want to encourage you, young men and women, great money in sales if you can do it. If you can do it. But I was burning out a little bit on it. I was kind of ready for something. I was ready to get back in whatever. I started putting these stupid little videos online called Jesse Kelly Brief. They're still on YouTube. You can go look at them. These dumb little things that were poorly produced for a reason. There was no one to produce it. It's my iPhone on a stand, and it was just being dumb. They're just little two-minute videos. And Michael Berry starts leaning on the local radio station in Houston, the great KPRC, starts leaning on Eddie Martini. He's awesome, awesome dude, kind of in charge of a bunch of iHeart stuff down here. He's the boss. Starts, hey, you should give this guy a shot. Give this guy a shot. And I showed up. They gave me a one-hour-a-night show, 7 to 8 o'clock at night. Jewish producer Chris was the board operator the first night I sat down without any idea what I was doing. And we just celebrated our 7-year anniversary, and the Jesse Kelly Show is nationally syndicated, one of the biggest shows in the country from New York to Honolulu. Isn't that crazy? What a stupid story. I have no idea. Yeah, people ask me how it worked out that way. No idea. By God's own grace, that's what I tell them. Now, let's find you. Look, I already told you that's how I got stuck with Chris. But I don't want you to be stuck the way I've been stuck. I want you to find a good employee. That's what ZipRecruiter is here for. ZipRecruiter is here so you don't end up with Chris. They have matching technology. It's the hiring site employers prefer the most because it saves you time. You don't have time to sift through 1,000 resumes finding that account manager you need. Someone else needs to do it for you. That's what ZipRecruiter does. The employee you want, I have great news. They're already on ZipRecruiter. They already had their resume uploaded to ZipRecruiter. The only thing they're waiting on is you to go post the job. ZipRecruiter will match you instantly. You're going to have your new employee fast. ZipRecruiter.com/Jesse is where you go. ZipRecruiter.com/Jesse. We'll be back.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Friday. Remember, you can email us, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. This guy says, Jesse, why are conservatives helping Gavin Newsom sharpen his game? Guys, what are you doing? He's not talking to me. I haven't done that, and I wouldn't. You probably know as much as I do what a disaster California is, so on and so forth. Please stop helping him. Look, I can't answer this question, why people on the right are continuing to sit down with Gavin Newsom to help him. That's what he's doing. He's going on all these right-wing podcasts so he can learn how to not sound like such a freak to normal people. Remember, Gavin Newsom he doesn't have any belief system. He was essentially created in a lab to push communism. Gavin Newsom is very aware that he has to walk the tightrope we have talked about so many times before. A very, 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 I'm so glad I'm not one of these people, some Democrat that has to do this. A difficult tightrope. Chris, grab that Gavin Newsom audio of him talking about the tranny kids on, I think it was Sean Ryan's show or something like that. Walking a tightrope. The tightrope is, how do I let the deranged demonic freaks of my base, how do I let them know that I'm their champion? I'm one of them. While at the same time, not freaking out Normie Norm and making him think I'm a dirty California communist who believes all this filth. How do you do that? Well, he's going to have to walk that tightrope from now till the 2028 election. He will, this is a scary thought. Look, I'm worried. I am. Not saying he's going to win, but he worries me. He will get better and better and better the more he practices as he focus groups this stuff, as he pulls this stuff. He's going to get better at answering questions he knows are coming. That's part of the reason he's sitting down with people on the right so he can figure out, how do I walk this rope without losing my balance? I'm going to play this again. I played it for you before. I want you to do the best you can. You know what? We're going to do it twice. I think we'll do it twice because I want to do this with you. First, I need you to try to set aside you. And I need you to be a demonic cultural communist. Now, Gavin Newsom gets asked this question by a right winger. Does his answer speak to you?
What about for your values? I mean, is 8 years old too young?
Yeah, I mean, look, I now that I have a 9 year old, just became nine. Come on, man, I get it. So those are legit. You know, it's interesting. Just the issue of age. As someone that's been so focused on equality, broadly LGBT rights, particularly gay marriage, the trans issue for me is also novel. It's over the last few years, I'm trying to understand as much as anyone else, whole pronoun thing, trying to understand all of that.
If you're a mentally ill demon, part of the Democrat base, you may not love that answer. He wasn't loudly your advocate, but did he offend you? Does he sound like your enemy there? He doesn't, does he? I mean, you can, I wish he'd come out stronger for trannies. You may say that, but he doesn't sound like your enemy. Now, I need you to set you aside again. And I need you to become the normie in your life. You have one. Maybe you're related to them. Maybe it's a neighbor, whoever. The normie in your life. You know what they watch? Football. You know what they don't do? They don't really consume the news. They'll read a couple headlines. They know the gas prices are too high, but they don't really participate. I'm not interested in politics. They say stuff like that. Your norm. You're about to watch football all day on Saturday and Sunday. You don't really know about Gavin Newsom. You know he's governor of California. He gets asked a question about tranny stuff and answers like this. Does he freak you out?
What about for your values? I mean, is 8 years old too young?
Yeah, I mean, look, I now that I have a 9 year old, just became nine. Come on, man, I get it. So those are legit. You know, it's interesting, just the issue of age. As someone that's been so focused on equality, broadly LGBT rights, particularly gay marriage, the trans issue for me is also novel. It's over the last few years, I'm trying to understand as much as anyone else, whole pronoun thing, trying to understand all of that.
If you're Norm, about to watch football for 8 hours on Sunday, and the tranny stuff weirds you out, and that, keep in mind, Gavin Newsom knows the tranny issue is a losing issue with the general public. The normies do not like it. He knows that. Doesn't that, if you weren't familiar with him, doesn't that kind of sound like an answer that would work for you? He's not up there doing land acknowledgments about the stolen land. He's not taking the stances we know he actually has. He's walking that tightrope. And you can say that answer is kind of stumbly and bumbly. But keep in mind, this is a human being. Maybe you didn't know this. You know what he watches every night? It's not CNN, not MSNBC. He watches Fox News every single night. He is training himself to learn how to talk to Norm and Norma. And that guy is the freaking spawn of Satan. God forbid that guy ever become president. But he is sharpening his skills. I will not be aiding him in that. I will, however, be aiding you in getting your life back after you've had your identity stolen. It's a, have you ever talked to somebody who had it happen to them? Credit score gone, bank accounts wiped out. It's devastating. You end up having to miss work because you're trying to put your life back together. And all the information on you, it's all on the internet right now. How would you know if someone steals it? LifeLock would tell you. LifeLock detects and alerts you to potential identity threats that you would never know about. You don't know till you wake up and the bank account's gone. And this part is my favorite part. If the worst happens, a U.S.-based restoration specialist will fix it and get you your money back. Save up to 40% on your first year with the promo code Jesse at LifeLock.com. LifeLock.com, promo code Jesse. Don't wait until it happens. Get in front of it now. We'll be back.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It's still real to me, damn it!
Returns next.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
What I told people, I was making a podcast about Benghazi. 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
It's almost a dirty word, one that connotes conspiracy theory.
Will we ever get the truth about the Benghazi massacre?
Bad faith political warfare, and frankly, bullshit.
We kill the ambassador just to cover something up. You put 2 and 2 together.
Was it an overblown distraction or a sinister conspiracy?
Benghazi is a Rosetta Stone for everything that's been going on for the last 20 years.
I'm Leon Nafok from Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries. This is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Yeah, that's right. Lock her up.
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. 3 times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Friday. Remember, if you miss any part of it, you can download it. iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. Let's get back to as many questions as we can because the end is nigh, Chris. The end is nigh. I nailed that one, right? Why do you have to say it like that? I'm practicing my wordsmithing. It doesn't sound dumb. I sound educated, and now you ruined it, like always. Jesse, you were discussing VP potential candidates for 2028 last Friday. Have you considered Sarah Huckabee Sanders? No, she's a woman. Jesse, you mentioned the Churchill bunker when you finally get to London. We're thinking, don't bother. Oh, to our sophisticated international minds, the husband and I thought it was somewhat of a tourist trap. Not as bad as the Jane Austen Museum in Bath or the Sherlock Holmes Museum or London Tower, but still, that sucks. I have experienced that so many times. You know, I I've been to Europe, what is it, 3 times now? We went to Austria and the Czech Republic, and we went to Italy and Germany. And here is something that I have discovered. For the most part, the big cities, their history is almost always tourist trap history. Now, I say that while acknowledging that there is a museum in Cologne, Germany, if you ever find yourself there, that is one of the greatest, most jaw-dropping, powerful museums I've ever been to in my life. I believe it's called the Gestapo Museum. Chris, look that up, make sure. It's something to do with the Nazis, but it is so in-depth. It is amazing how well it is, and they walk you through how well it's done. They walk you through it chronologically, and I spent 3 hours there. The kids were bored to tears and begging to go home. I could have done more, and it was that great. But big city stuff is generally tourist trappy and crappy, and that rhymed, and I meant to do that, but that is often the case. That is often the case. Smaller places, way better, way cooler historically. There's a, you know, you find some mountain fort somewhere or something like that. I don't mind cities, as you know. And there is some good, I mean, you go to Rome, you got to see the Colosseum. But generally, the cooler history is found outside of the cities. I've found that over and over and over and over again because the city grows up around it. And then inevitably, they're going to try to find a way to make money off of it, which I get. I don't fault anyone for making money, but they'll end up commercializing it. And yeah. Yeah. Jesse, I've come to the conclusion that arguing with willing slaves that we should not be treated like slaves by the ruling class is a fool's errand. Of course, we were taught that being a slave is a bad and dehumanizing situation. Nevertheless, it appears that many around us know they are slaves, are comfortable with it, and willing to protect their slave masters. How can we argue with willing slaves? Are there other periods in history where slaves protected their masters? That is unbelievably common throughout the history of slavery, which is the history of the world. Slaves who do not get paid and who do not have rights, depending on the situation, liking their situation, preferring to stay in their situation. Slaves who will commit suicide when their master dies. That is a very common thing. Some people are inclined to it. And for you, that's bonkers, isn't it? Who would want to be told what to do? Who would want to have no rights whatsoever? But that's because you don't have a slave's mentality. For a communist, I'm talking about your liberal Aunt Peggy, the Democrat, you know, they have a slave mentality. And we always try to appeal to them in ways that don't work because we don't share their mentality. When you try to argue with a Democrat friend about why the government shouldn't do this to you or shouldn't do that to you, it falls on deaf ears because people don't want to be free. Not all people. Some do. Some want to live free. Some do not. Think about the old West wagon trains. Look, you throw your family on a covered wagon, you get to be part of a wagon train, and you go out west. Sounds like a great adventure, right? Freedom. Finally, freedom. Yeah, you might also find yourself tied to a wagon wheel being burned alive by the Comanches. There's a danger that comes with that. You know who's never going to be burned alive by the Comanches? The guy who doesn't get on the wagon train and goes back to his smelly one-bedroom apartment in New York City and lives the rest of his life washing dishes there, barely making ends meet. It's an existence. He's alive. He never starves. He never gets killed by Comanches, and that's what he wants. You can try to take people apart who are part of that, but I've used the analogy before because it's accurate. Cult members, people who are part of a cult, people, some of them will wake up over time. They will recognize things don't seem right, and they'll come out of it. Maybe you are a former Democrat, and that happened to you. But that's right, exactly right, Chris. Chris said it's not fast. It's not fast. And if you have someone in a cult, a Democrat, I mean, don't think it's going to be one conversation. And don't think for a second you're going to hold up some fact, some black and white fact, and change their mind. The very fine people lie they tell about Donald Trump. Donald Trump did not call Nazis very fine people. It's on video. Joe Biden launched his presidential campaign and even at the end said he was running for president because Donald Trump called Nazis very fine people. But what Donald Trump said is on video.
I do think there's blame. Yes, I think there's blame on both sides. You look at both sides. I think there's blame on both sides, and I have no doubt about it, and you don't have any doubt about it either. And you had some very bad people in that group, but you also had people that were very fine people on both sides.
That's what he said. Now, you think when your liberal Aunt Peggy walks in and starts screaming about Trump, and you say something to defend him, and she says, oh, yeah, the guy who called Nazis very fine people. You think you should be able to just grab your phone and pull up the video and show her, what was that, Chris, 20 seconds? That show her a 20-second video. There it is. See? You think that should be a moment for her, right, where boom, like she's coming out of a coma. Her eyes wake up. She's seen the light. And wow. She doesn't like Democrats anymore. They're liars. But that doesn't work, does it? And do you know why? You know what being demoralized means? Yuri Bezmenov, former KGB agent Yuri Bezmenov, talked about it. We've played it for you before. Your liberal Aunt Peggy doesn't wake up in that moment because she has been thoroughly demoralized.
Exposure to true information does not matter anymore. A person who was demoralized is unable to assess true information. The facts tell nothing to him. Even if I shower him with information, with authentic proof, with documents, with pictures, even if I take him by force to the Soviet Union and show him concentration camp, he will refuse to believe it.
That's what we're dealing with. And sometimes you just have to accept you can't wake him up. Lots of people never wake up from the coma. I want you to wake up and realize you don't have to live with pain. That is a lie that you have been taught that it's just part of life, just part of getting older. Now, I'm always going to have to wince when I wake up in the morning thinking about how bad it's going to hurt my back. That's a lie. At least try one more thing before you just sign off and accept that life has to hurt. Try Relief Factor. It doesn't mask your pain for a couple hours. It helps your body eliminate it forever, purging it. It is 100% drug-free, which you know I'm passionate about. Do you know that over 1 million people have tried it? You know how many order more? Almost 70%. Why do you think that is? Take it every day for 3 weeks. Your life's about to get better. 1-800-4-RELIEF or go to relieffactor.com. We'll be back.
You're listening to The Jesse Kelly Show. You're welcome.
It is The Jesse Kelly Show. Final segment of The Jesse Kelly Show before we check out of here for the weekend. But we will be back on Monday. Remember, if you miss me while I'm gone, you can email me jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Let's get to as many as we can here. Jesse, why do you think vice squads have historically been the most notoriously corrupt divisions of Metro police departments? Because that's where the money is, especially in drugs. Which is why your childish credulousness with regard to the DEA is laughable. Again, this proves a point I have made over and over and over again on the show about 10,000 times. If you ever get an insulting email calls you names, tells you you're childish or whatever, it'll be from the dumbest person who listens to the show who didn't even hear you right. I don't know that I've ever said the word DEA on the show. I don't know that those words have ever come out of my mouth. If so, maybe one time. But this guy sits at home, and the subject of this one is your blind spot. I'm sure probably hammered, drunk, in the basement, probably listening to someone else. Maybe sent it to the wrong show or something like that, and he's going to fire off an insult on something I've never even talked about before. My goodness.
Please stop this in the name of a just, merciful God.
Jesse, me and my husband got quite a laugh listening to that James Carville clip. He admitted twice all they want is power. Can you please play that again? Oh my gosh, are you kidding me? I'll play it as many times as I want. Because the obviously, what makes it great is the exasperation of normal Democrats who want their party to win, and they can see the insanity over and over and over and over and over again. They see it coming out, and they can't seem to stop the idiots from spewing it. And they're so exasperated because a guy like James Carville, who I don't like, he can read poll numbers. And all that guy cares about is winning. And he sees that they've become the party of freaks. Culturally, it's not politically that Democrats are down and out. They're down and out culturally. People think they're weird, evil, deranged tranny freaks who believe in an open border. That is a brand you have to change that. If you're the pro-crime party, and that's the Democrat brand right now, you have to change that. And every waking moment as a Democrat should be spent trying to change that. Instead, they're doubling down on all of it, and he's just so frustrated.
Why are you bringing this up in an election? Okay? What we did, what all kinds of things, with slavery, with experiment with drugs, what we did during the, what happened in the Confederacy during the Civil War, and Andersonville, and it's okay. This is an election, and the DNC is not the place to discuss this. Understand this. The DNC does not exist to right wrongs. It doesn't exist to acknowledge the more unpleasant parts of history. It doesn't exist to make people feel good. It exists, get this through your head, to win elections. Now, do you think that is going to help us win elections talking about land theft from the Dakotas? We're not. Please stop this in the name of a just, merciful God. Don't you see what's happening? Don't you see where this has brought us?
Don't you see what's happening? He sees it. The complete cultural rejection of the Democrat Party, and he's begging them to see it, and they can't. And I love it. It makes me laugh. All right, hold on. Before we do any more questions, I have to do something special. This is for couples. Are you ready? It's time to do a little couples thing. I want you to go to CozyEarth.com. And I want him to get a robe. She can get one too. Ob has a Cozy Earth robe too. Get him a robe though, because you want him to be a robe guy. And get her some of their cream stuff. Ob just loves all that face cream stuff they have. This is the best I've ever had. Oh, it's so much healthier. I want you to do it. I want you to do that as a gift for each other this weekend. They have everyday pants, they have sheets, they have, look, go crazy. We went crazy, but save money too. Up to 40% off at CozyEarth.com with the promo code Jesse. It's couples weekend, him a robe, her a cream. Him a robe, her a cream. He gets the robe, she gets the cream. He gets the robe, she gets the cream. CozyEarth.com, promo code Jesse.
And now,
here's a headline.
By the, go, you know the thing.
Emails
we didn't get to.
Dear Robed Samurai. See, this lady gets it. Last evening on the news, I heard someone say China's the rising sun and U.S. is the setting sun, soon to be replaced. What say you? Let's not oversell this. The United States of America still has many, many days ahead of her. We still have time to recover and be doing just fine from all this cultural filth. And yes, China is a significant threat. There's no question about it. China, remember, has huge, huge problems of their own. Gigantic problems. Economically, China is on shaky, shaky ground. Xi Jinping and the Chinese Communist Party, they are on shaky ground. Xi Jinping is worried about getting some sort of a coup from the military. It's part of the reason he hasn't taken Taiwan yet. Don't assume that China is inevitable, that their rise is inevitable, that our fall is inevitable. Don't assume that at all. Jesse, didn't that judge rule that Trump sending the L.A. National Guard or National Guard to L.A. was unlawful? If so, how can he send it to other cities? That was one judge. And this goes back to kind of what we talked about to open up the show. Don't take the headline of a judge rules this or a lower court rules that and ever think that it's final. Most of these things are little temporary pauses, which temporary pause is probably redundant, right? It's just a pause. It's just a temporary pause in things. Jesse, I recently moved from Sacramento County, California to Eagle, Idaho. I thought there were many MAGA conservatives here. What I've found here is too much like California. That's because the red areas are too soft. And they're soft, and the Democrats from California who fly in are not. They'll flee the state, they'll flee the results of their voting habits, and they'll bring those voting habits into your state. And if your state, your red state, doesn't get a lot more active and involved, the filthy California communists will come in and they will destroy it the same way they're destroying the most beautiful state in the United States of America. That's just a fact. Now, put your phone down, go, smile, enjoy your weekend, watch some football if you must. I'll see you on Monday. That's all.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
When I told people I was making a podcast about Benghazi, 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
From Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries, this is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. 3 times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart podcast.